In a world of mediocrity, these guys are considered mediocrity. The Big Boned Gus Warland. AFL superstar Jude Bolton.
It can be a bit of day drinking stage. I don't want to encourage that.
And NRL legend Wendell Saylor.
Okay. There is a camera here too, so they probably will post that.
Okay.
It's a two-hour show that'll make you wonder.
Well, then how come it's not called The Rush Hours?
Gus, Jude and Wendell are Triple M's Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour, Gus, Jude and Wendell driving you home. And boys, how are you? G'day, Jude.
Oh, sensational Friday. Friday knockoffs later on. It'll be very good, mate. It's been a good week, even though we had a short week.
Yeah, exactly. They're Wednesday, the best Thursday, week, Friday. You love a short week, Del.
No, I'm all about the overtime, mate. I just mate, can we come in tomorrow? I usually like working Saturdays.
On Wednesday, which was our first show, you go, when are holidays this year?
Yeah, because I'm just not used to working 5 days a week, mate.
Get through the first shift.
That's how organised he is. He just wants to put it in the diary and get it locked away.
It's a new Wendell Saylor for 2022. My motto is go over and above.
Hang on, is this like Bernard Tomic with his motivational? He's turning a new leaf. Is that what you're doing?
Bernard Tomic, what has happened to him? He's not playing at the Aussie Open, is he? What's happened to him?
He didn't even get the wild card. Yeah, he got bundled.
Is he so far down the tube?
He got COVID, remember?
Mate.
Okay.
Latest, Bernard.
We've got James Bracey talking the Australian Open. We've got the all-rounder sports quiz coming back. We're talking to Dobbo around breaking NRL news. We're talking to Danny Green and we're talking to Bo Ryan. But boys, this is a real drama. This has come across my desk. Due to COVID, chickens will remain off the menu for weeks to come. There is a shortage of chickens. Supply problems, transport, distribution, shop workers all sick or in isolation. Between 20 and 50% of transport and logistics around chickens are out. The Australian Chicken Meat Federation, the ACMF, predicts that breast fillets, drumsticks and chicken wings will be sparse on shelves until at least the end of January. The Australian chicken industry producers, how about this? We're bad people. Yeah. We are bad people, human beings.
This is absurd.
600 million chickens a year.
Wow. That's
and when you hear producers 600 chickens a year, it doesn't make you feel like they're out there having a great time, you know, out in the middle of the fields, just nibbling away on good tucker, does it?
What are you going to miss the most, Del? Is it, are you going to miss the breast fillets, the drumsticks, or the chicken wings?
Oh, look, I love my drumsticks, you know. Drumsticks and nuggets, and I just love chicken. I just love eating. But drumsticks the most.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
The tennis guys, every night, every day. How good has it been? And the man that is the hostess with the mostest, James Bracey. How are you, brother, from Channel 9?
Hello, Gus. Hey, Del. Hey, Jude. Great to be with you, fellas. Hey, loving life down here in Melbourne.
Oh, I bet, mate. You've got the biggest smile on your face, and you're the perfect man, mate. You're going to be the Channel 9 main man now for the next 30. Yes. Sign him up forever.
You're the new Ken Sutcliffe, mate. Not as good looking, but sorry.
Yeah. I'll shoot you the boss's number after this.
Good on you, mate. Now, let's talk about the tennis, and rather than looking forward to today and tonight, which is a couple of cracking matches, but just Nick last night and the crowd and the... It's not the booing necessarily, it's something else.
I think they're saying Sue, which is a soccer thing, a football thing.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I'll try it again.
I can't hear him, please. Show some respect for Jim Courier. Thank you.
Can you just give us a bit of an understanding of exactly what happened from your point of view?
It's a funny atmosphere, that whole Sue thing. I don't know. Like I'm not big on it, but I love a good atmosphere and I love what Nick brings when he plays at John Cain Arena. The other night it was like a football match, and in a way that's great because Nick is not just tennis. He's the entertainment. He's the show. He's everything, you know, that probably tennis hasn't been. He's the anti-establishment. It's hard to find better TV than that. But look, Daniil Medvedev, he's a machine. He knows what he's doing. And look, I'm definitely not a fan of people yelling out and yahooing in between serves. So I'm sort of torn on how I feel about it all, but geez, it's been an atmosphere and a half.
Medvedev was talking to Jim Courier and just you could see his angst. He held it in so well, his mental toughness throughout the game. How impressive was his performance?
Unbelievable. And that's why he is the number two in the world and the top seed here with no Novak. He's freakishly good. And, you know, you talk to anyone on the ground here and he's their favourite, anyone that knows what they're talking about. But, you know, then he walks off court last night and he absolutely hammered those fans too.
He did.
Then I have a breakpoint second serve and people are cheering like you already made a double fault. And I mean, that's just disappointing because It's not everybody who is doing it, but those who are doing it probably have a low IQ.
They obviously got a low IQ, was one of the sledges. That was about a minute and a half after he'd walked off from that interview with Jim talking to Eurosport. So he didn't miss the one to beat.
Yeah, what about our Ash Barty? I know there's a lot of pressure on Ash. I know she can do it, but it's going to be a big fight for her.
Oh, Del, this is big tonight. Look, she's beaten Camilla Georgie three times before, including at the AO 4 years ago. But over on Margaret Court, while that's happening, is Naomi Osaka yes. and Amanda Anisimova. So that the winners of these matches take on each other in the fourth round. The dream matchup here, you know, Sunday night, is Naomi Osaka, Ash Barty.
She's an absolute legend. We're talking to the two sporty guys in here, the two legends that have obviously played at the highest level. They talk about the heat in the match, and you should walk towards it, take it on board, and really work with it, which is exactly what Medvedev did last night. Yep. But Nick gives himself an out all the time. He's, you know, he's had a bit of COVID. I've only been playing basketball. Really been able to serve. For me, it's just that's that little bit lacking where you think, you know what, he's never quite going to do it, even though he's got the talent to do it.
And you know what, one of the intriguing things last night was, Gussie, at the post-match press conference, everyone was wanting to hear, all the journos on the ground here, is this Nick's final Australian Open? I mean, he's 26.
Yes.
Yeah. That would never be the case with any 26-year-old. No. You're hitting your peak at that age. And to be thinking like that, I mean, that just shows where everyone believes he's at. And he was non-committal to it. And that says everything. I think we probably have to resign ourselves to the fact that Nick's just, as you say, it comes down to that dedication. And he's just never had it.
If you could mould the two players together, Alex de Minaur, Grace, his grunt and willingness to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They'd be the ultimate combo, those two. And de Minaur's still going. Man, he flies under the radar. It's just, it's so, when Nick is here, it's so much fun. Where he's playing doubles today, you know, wherever he is, there's a vibe. And the place was absolutely pumping. And it's not just in the venues. They're all around Melbourne Park. They're on the tinnies. It's a party, absolute party. Oh. And I'm on this set near the exit and entrance at Melbourne Park. So I'm copping it from people on the way out who've had way too much. Yeah. The big tooth guy off the footy.
You're a lot more than that to us, big fella. Thanks a lot. Brace. And of course, cheers, Wild World of Sports for all the tennis. And of course, it's on Stan, it's on Gem, as well as being on Channel 9. So thanks a lot, Brace. Really appreciate you putting some time aside from your preparation to chat to us this afternoon.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude, and Wendell.
Yes, the HSE results just came out. So, twins at Loretto College in Normanhurst are making headlines after scoring almost identical ATARs. They got the same course score almost, and it actually happens quite a lot. So, last year, twin boys from another school received the same ATAR score and are now studying medicine together. So, it got me thinking that, you know, you two are similar body shape, and you know, I think you've got on the same wavelength. The times you finish each other's sentences, I mean, you know, that connection.
Like, and the honey and the bee. You and me, we got two.
And you're even looking in each other's eyes at the moment. I can see that at the moment. And
only our mother can tell us apart.
I dare say that they probably could tell you apart, but. Let's just say I think you could be Triple M set of twins. So I just want you to start looking, and I'm going to throw some categories out, and I want you to see, and I want you to look into each other's eyes and see if you're just connected. These mental waves are just coming across. Like, okay. I mean, Del, I mean, just initially, what are you thinking at the moment? What is Gussie thinking at the moment, or something like that?
Do you want me to honestly tell you what I think Gus is thinking? He's home by himself. I think he's thinking.
Be quiet.
Okay. And you're thinking, what's Del thinking at the moment? Mm. Is this that? Okay. That's probably about right too. So here we go. The first category, and I'm just going to give 3 seconds, and then you've got to say it at the same time, and let's see if you're on the same
line. Countdown.
Yeah, I'll give you the countdown. Okay, yeah, so the first category is a brand of beer. In 3, 2, 1.
Forex.
Oh wow. Why'd you go that?
What would you say? You dragged me up to the north to drink 4X.
Yeah, it's a great drop.
Actually, it goes all right.
We're on the board. I thought it might miss, but we're on.
You told us we're twins, and you're setting it up for fail.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. Category 2: an item of clothing. In 3, 2, 1.
G-string. Singlet.
What was that?
Singlet.
G-string.
You've never won a singlet, sure.
I was thinking of Dell when he gets his arms out in the summer.
Did you say G-string?
Yeah. Where he wears on the Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I was thinking of Gus in a G-string. Sorry, I just said.
Wow.
Goodness. I've worn a G-string before.
I mean, you've got arms like Dell, you get the singlet out. That's sort of where my thinking.
Yeah, well, sorry. Okay.
Next one. Mm. Name of a country in 3, 2, 1.
USA.
What was that?
Africa.
Africa.
I went USA.
Yeah.
Because you're athletic.
Africa's a continent.
Yeah.
Africa's a continent.
How good am I going? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A female celebrity in 3, 2, 1.
Kylie Jenner.
What was that?
Kyle Jenner?
Who?
Kyle Jenner? Is it Kyle Jenner?
Who?
The bloke who used to be a bloke is our girl. Who's that?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Kyle. I said Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. Okay.
Oh, fair play, Halle Berry.
Yeah. Okay. Why wouldn't you think of Halle Berry?
So let's just say.
Now you said it, I want to talk and think about.
We've got
this
one. Is the last chance. Okay. We'll go one more category. Okay. Basketball star in 3, 2, 1.
LeBron James.
Oh, come on.
What's
wrong
with you,
so
man? Mate, what's wrong with you?
This is...
You're not my twin.
This is going terribly. All
one
right,
more,
last one.
Okay, come on.
A board game in 3, 2, 1.
Monopoly.
Yes, we are on.
We're twins.
Separated at birth. Yeah. Look at those two.
We're talking about what went wrong at a party, and we've uncovered some footage, and it's rare footage of Jude's dance moves that will make you cringe. Actually, pause this podcast right now, go to our Instagram Rush Hour Triple M page, then come back and we'll unpack it.
Oh, yes, please.
Good job.
The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
We're talking about when something goes bad at a party. Off the back of that, a woman has revealed that she has broken up with her husband the day after their wedding because she ignored her one request is, do not put my face into the cake.
Well, why would he put the face
in? But he did. Well, that's the latest thing. That's what you do now. You get it in, you smack the cake. So it's like,
oh, my God.
So she's broken up with him, annulment, the whole bit. That happened to one of my mates as well. He didn't go home with his wife, end up partying with all of us, and she wasn't there in the morning. So I know that has happened. We'll get back to your story in a second. Have you got a story about a bad party?
Oh, no. Well, you know what? I had a friend. His name's, say, Andrew Johns, okay? And him and his missus invited us up to their place up in Newcastle for a weekend, you know? So me and the wife and the kids. And what Joey didn't tell me that day was that it was a Newcastle Old Boys Day. We had a weekend off.
Quiet day.
Well, Matty Johns used to love those days.
Well, thank you. I'm getting to that story. So anyway, so Joey goes to me, do you want to come to the football? You know, I was going, mate, no, not really. I'll just stay home here. And then when you come back, you know, we'll have a few drinks and that, you know. He's like, okay. So as he comes back after the footy, Newcastle win, all of a sudden, Newcastle Old Boys Day.
Matty Johns,
all the boys coming in, you know, Robbie O'Davis, all the guys, all the old boys, you know, they're there. It's, you know, Tony Butterfield, all those guys. And at this stage, I'm off going, what's going on here? I said, so it was obviously a party.
Yeah.
Matty was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Matty was reading stories. You know what Matty's like? He's quite quirky. I love Matty Johns. He's the best. And then he starts, you know, saying stuff and that. Anyway, so the party's getting, like, it's, you know, the crescendo. It's, and anyway, Joey just goes to bed. And like,
so he brought the party.
And
goes, no, disappeared.
Nice. Him and his missus go to bed. Me and my wife had to like strip people out and then clean up, and then we drove back that morning. So
you're kicking everyone out.
Yeah, well, it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and then like, and then there was a couple of guys who didn't really want to go, but I just said, boys, you got to go.
Of course. Like, when has the party gone wrong? Give us a call on 133353. Lisa from Cronulla. Yeah. G'day, Lisa.
How you going?
What went wrong at your party?
I invited some guests and they left my party and robbed the house next door.
What?
They robbed the house?
What do you mean?
Oh, they left my party and went next door and robbed stereo or something from next door.
Are these people that normally would, are they robbers, these people, or they just did it as a bit of a joke?
Are they thieves?
Well, I don't know, but that's what they did, yeah, and we had the 21st squad come and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez,
talk about ruin your wedding and also... ruin your
Are you
relationship
still mates with these people,
neighbors?
Lisa?
No, No.
No. And what about your neighbours? What did they think about all of that?
They weren't very impressed, but we became friends after that.
Oh, thank God for that. Well, you're going to pick up a Hoyts double voucher for that, and hopefully that those sort of people aren't in your life anymore, Lise.
My goodness.
No, they're not.
And what about that video, Jude?
Oh, terrible. But mate,
explain yourself?
There was a wedding video we set up with our groomsmen and our wedding party, and I taught my groomsmen the night before as we
they
were about to go
like
out.
They don't know what they're doing.
They didn't know. And they didn't really embrace it
I'm
either.
Still watching. It's like you're doing The Matrix as well, and you're really starting to get people going here. There's still a minute to go. Look at you and your high-tanning people, and you're hugging the beautiful Annette. Oh, yeah.
One wedding that did go downhill, one of my mates, Andrew Hill, but he... It was the groomsman, obviously, and it was a big country wedding down at Lake Eildon, which is Bonnie Doon.
Yeah,
we're
beautiful.
Going to Bonnie Doon.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guys have taken out the speedboat the next day at the after party.
Oh, dear.
And as they got it back on the trailer, it got bogged in the mud.
Mm.
So it's on the country estate or whatever, and Hilbo has taken the tractor down to get down and get the bogged trailer.
Oh, no.
And the guys couldn't get the chain onto it, so he got out of the tractor, got down, and went to just connect the thing, and it slid back, and the trailer clamped him against the tractor, and broke and shattered his leg.
Oh,
and he's the groomsman. We had to just helicopter him out of there.
Oh no!
Missed the honeymoon. It was diabolical.
Oh,
Hilbo.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
We're going now to Dobbo. He is our main man when it comes to the rush hour up there in Brisbane. And you've got some breaking NRL news for us, brother. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are we? Great to be with you. Happy January. And look, there's nothing better than in January. And I know, Gus, you might not like this, that we're talking about rugby league. I mean, seriously, it should be all year round. But look, we saw just a little earlier Wayne Bennett announcing that Jesse Bromwich from the Melbourne Storm has signed on with the Dolphins from 2023. That's a huge signing, three-time premiership player. But this one hits Sydney a little bit more home. I can tell you guys now that Mark Nichols will be given a release from his final year of 2024. He'll play for the Rabbitohs this year, but the GOAT, they call him for the red and green, the old warhorse, will join the Dolphins on a two-year deal from 2023. So Mark Nichols to play out this year for South Sydney, and he's been granted a release and will play for the Dolphins. Now, he's a no-frills footballer, and Wayne Bennett, what he's doing is putting together the Felice Kafusis, the Ray Stones, the Jesse Bromwich, now Mark Nichols, these no-frills hard nuts that we know Wayne Bennett likes. They do the hard work and then obviously build a platform. So another signing today. So the Dolphins starting to put some people together. And if you're a Bunnies fan, well, he's not the biggest name, but I tell you what, he's a crowd favourite and he's a good one. So South Sydney will get one more year of the GOAT and then he joins the Dolphins.
Yeah, look, Dobbo, you're right too, because what Wayne does too, he looks for good people in and around the club or even a person who needs a second chance. And I actually said to Wayne Bennett one time, I said, Wayne, when people have gone through adversity and stuff, I said, what do you judge them on giving them a second chance? He said, well, I look at what they've done and whether I think I can get the best out of them, whether they deserve a second chance. And the players that he's signing now, anyone that thinks that Wayne Bennett is going to be behind when it comes to the roster next year is kidding, because this is what this is the stuff I told
you
yesterday.
You said it yesterday, yeah. And all of a sudden it's starting to build.
I mean, Jesse Bromwich, and don't forget, Jesse Bromwich as well, when he's signing him, don't forget, they've lost Nelson Asofa Solomona as well, Melbourne Storm, so there's two world-class front rowers. Wayne knows what he's doing. And let me tell you, Wayne will be getting phone calls, and Dobbo knows this. Mate, no one plays the game and works in the game better than Wayne Bennett. The managers know that, so they're doing their deals behind the scenes. So Wayne's not silly, but also made good signing too with from South. Yeah, he's a good club man because, mate, people love playing with him. You don't have to be the best, but you have to be a good person, and Wayne knows he can build a team around that.
Well, you saw Wendell every time that he scored a try, how his teammates got around him and how much they loved playing with him. And I spoke to Wayne about him today. He just said culturally, he's the kind of bloke. We can get some young front rowers, these 18, 19, 20-year-olds, they can learn off Jesse Bromwich. They can learn off Mark Nichols. They're pros. And he said the 40 minutes I get from them or 50 minutes I get from them in a match, I know is at 100%. He said the problem with a young front rower is you might get 20 minutes of really good football and the rest of it's you're not worth having. He said, we know with these starting front rowers, we're going to have the best we can. And so slowly but surely, they're starting to put some players together. There's a lot of talk up here at the moment that even though Jason Tamalolo is contracted to the Cowboys, maybe with the vaccination things and everything going on, he might be moving on from there. I just wonder whether or not Wayne Bennett might have a sneaky little suspicion that potentially he might be able to bag a big fish like Tamalolo.
Is there anyone else in their sights as well? I mean, they did miss out on a couple, but who else do you reckon could be in the
Ponga's,
sights?
Well, Ponga's the big name. Yeah. Look, let's not sugarcoat it. I think that Anthony Milford will be there in 23 as well. I honestly do. I think he signed a one-year deal with South. Wayne Bennett is very close to him, and he got the best out of him when he's played there. I think Milford will be there. I think, obviously, Herbie Farnworth's in the headlights. I think Corey Oates is. All these players have no Wayne, and they're off contract to Brisbane. Mm. But we all know how there's falling out throughout the course of the season. We've seen it, and rugby league is a soap opera that we live and breathe every single day. There will be players of big names that will fall out with their coaches after 6, 7, 8, yep. 9 rounds. One thing is, Uncle Wayne's waiting with a checkbook.
He sure is. Thanks a lot, Dobbo. Appreciate it, mate. Look forward to talking your show in the lead up to the NRL season. Don't worry, mate. I love my cricket, but I love my league as well, mate.
Yeah, you're an unbelievable commentator, Gus. You're unbelievable, mate. You stole the show, mate.
Mate, get a room, you two.
Get a room, brother. Two big fellas together rubbing tummies. Good on you, Dobbo. Yeah.
Up next, the Green Machine. Danny Green joins us to talk the turf war.
The Rush Hour. Is a lover, not a fighter, unless he's doing it professionally, because technically he is a fighter. He's not only represented Australia at the Olympics, but has a WBA light heavyweight, IBO cruiserweight, and a WBC interim super middleweight title. That's a lot of titles, but we'll go with just one. Legend.
Out of the red corner, welcome to the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, boys, and we've got Danny Green on. Stan Events, the only place to watch the highly anticipated boxing heavyweight clash, Turf War, Barry Hall and Sonny Bill Williams. Welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you, Danny?
Big deal. How are you, boys?
Really well, Danny.
We're fantastic, mate. Cannot wait for this bout. What are you expecting?
Oh, I don't know. That's what makes it pretty exciting, boys. It's you got two juggernauts of their both the sports, or three sports really, the ARL and the NRL and the AFL. Tony Bill Williams is a juggernaut in the sporting world, and he's proven himself as a pro. Barry Hall, premiership captain, all Australian legend and a hard man, and has proven himself also in the boxing ring. So, it's a very, very interesting matchup, and I think the public will be very surprised at the quality of the boxing that these guys are going to produce.
Well, two very good athletes, as you said, Danny. And, mate, we know that Sonny Bill, this is the first time he's been able to just concentrate solely on boxing. I think he's been working with Tyson Fury's crew. But what I like about Barry Hall, and I thought he did well to take it to Gell, I thought he might have got him on points. But, mate, Barry Hall, he's grown up boxing, and that gives you a bit of a, a bit of a head start, doesn't it?
Mate, he grew up doing it. He had 11 fights. I think he was an amateur junior state champ at the age of 15 or 16. So he comes from a boxing background. He's always kept his eye. He's always loved it. I just spoke to someone today and they go, oh my God, I saw Barry training yesterday and they happened to be up there. I can't believe how skillful the guy is. But they get a surprise. They think he's just a big, hard, tough, strong man. But he's actually got boxing IQ. He's got boxing ability. He's had a long time in the sport, but he hasn't had much professional experience. And his first fight, he fought Gallen, who was 9-0.
Yeah.
I believe that Barry won the fight. It was a draw, but I believe Barry won the fight.
I'm with you.
And, he landed a cleaner, harder shot, and I just thought it was a professional. In a professional fight, the person who lands the cleaner, harder shots is generally the winner. But anyway, it's a very, very exciting matchup, boys.
Danny, I can get the sense that this is not going to go to the scorecards and both of them are just going to absolutely genuinely try to knock each other out. Do you sense that as well?
Yeah, I do, Jude. I think that's the case. Particularly Barry, he said that Sonny's kind of the golden boy and he doesn't want to go to the judges. And I think in Barry's head, he thinks in his mind he has to win by a KO, which is exciting for us fans.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, mate, one thing that I do say to a lot of the footballers too, like, you got to show the respect to the boxing because, mate, like, when you get in there, like, it's harder than you think. And then I think, how do you feel about the footy players coming in and doing that now?
Look, mate, I wouldn't have liked to have been out in the footy field having you run at me or chase me or tackle me either, mate. So,
Danny, what about, Danny, a fight that you and I had up on the rooftop before you won one of your world championships? You smashed me that hard in one rib and in the other rib, and then Matty Johns and MG just throw me back in the ring to get some more. Can you remember that bout? And how tough was that for you mentally and physically?
Hey, Gus, that was one of my more entertaining bouts, mate.
It's a heavy bag workout.
Mate, I enjoyed it immensely, and it's a pity you weren't having as much fun.
All I remember, Dale, was that Danny just whispered in my ear going, I'm about to hit you right in the ribs, so just get ready for it. And I'm like, what? And then bang, he hit me. Then he goes, I'm going to hit you one more time.
He
told me what was going to happen, but it just took the wind out of me. And there's Maddie and MG pushing me back into the ring, but we didn't want Danny to get hurt, so I didn't throw any punches. You know
actually, you know what, Danny, how did you find his ribs?
they were like salada biscuits.
Hey, Danny, thanks so much for joining us, mate. This is our brand new show, and you've been fantastic on the Dead Set Legends last couple of years. Yeah. So we'd love to have your support on this show as well. You're the main man. We love you when it comes to boxing, but especially Australian boxing champs. So we appreciate your time and support.
Much appreciated, boys. I'd love to come on any time, and all the best for the show. You know, you guys are rippers, and I'm sure it's going to get a blast.
Yeah, wait for the Turf War.
Yeah, Turf War is promoted by Danny Green, the Green Machine. It's going to be on at the ICC in Sydney on March 23. That is Sonny Bill Williams up against Barry Hall.
Gus, Jude and Wendell. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
What have you made your apprentice or your sibling do? And it's off the back of your daughter. Doing something with her sister, Jude.
Yeah, so I got two daughters. My oldest daughter is Ciara, my youngest is Piper. And during the summer, I've obviously told the girls, you know, when you go outside and you want to go pick up your shoes and you're going to go for a walk or something like that, you've got to pat them down. There might be a spider who's crawled into it and that sort of stuff. So I think my oldest daughter is just shit scared of spiders. So I've caught her the other day. She starts to sing this catchy little jingle, and I'll play it for you because I recorded it.
Who are you gonna call? Who are you gonna choose? When there's spiders crawling in your shoes, Spider Girl.
And I suddenly realized,
voice. Yeah,
not a bad voice. So Dell was critiquing it earlier. She needs to hold the higher notes. No. But what I realized is, and I pulled her up on it. I said, you're just getting her to do your dirty work.
So like, she sings that. To
she sings
your,
that
to her little sister
when she's off to school. Get your school shoes at the front door. You know, offer a walk down the park. And then little Piper has to run and go pat down the shoes so there's no spiders, and then gives it to her older sister. I'm like, that's just cruel. Like,
that's a nice little trigger. I like it.
I like it too. Can we play the song? Can we play the song again?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Who are you gonna call? Who are you gonna choose? When there's spiders crawling in your shoes, Spider Girl.
So I want to know.
Very clever. Just like a mother. Yeah. Manipulative.
Yes. Yeah. I want to know who's
they all are.
Who's that little gopher? Who's that apprentice or your sibling that you just order around and let them do your dirty work? I'm sure some of our listeners.
Well, you hear stories of getting the young apprentice to go to the local hardware store, go and pick up a left-handed hammer.
Yes.
Or they lock them in the port-o-loo and then they tip it over. So, in your first week of work. So all that sort of. I suppose now it's actually bullying, but you know what I mean?
I wouldn't know. I've never been asked if you've worked a real job.
You've never got your hands dirty. Give us a call on 133353. What have you made your apprentice or your sibling do? Reese, how are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Very
good,
well. Mate. What did you do to whoever?
So when we do a new road and they don't have time to put the lines down, we have these things called stick and stomps, and you take a little bit of paper off the end of it. And they're very sticky. And we told the new guy, instead of sticking and stomping, we made him call them lick and stomps. So he had to lick the end of it, and it got stuck to his tongue.
Oh, my goodness. It's like Dumb and Dumber where he's got the tongue.
Yeah.
Hey, Reese, are you a bad bloke?
Oh, not usually, no.
That's all right. Lesson well learned.
Good on you, Reese. Thank you very much. You'll pick up a gammy chicken and beer voucher worth 50 bucks. Thank you.
Let's go
to William now in Cherry Hills. G'day, Willie.
G'day, how are you? G'day,
very well. Tell us your story, please.
I started off my life as a motor mechanic. Our Ford dealership was opposite the Sutherland Hospital. Mm-hmm. We got our young apprentice to take the cast iron cylinder head off a six-cylinder Ford motor over to the emergency department to get it x-rayed for a crack. so we all watched him stagger across the road. with this six-cylinder, and they're quite a heavy thing. So he's standing across the road, and we're watching him go into the emergency department, and then he comes back out saying, oh, they don't know anything about it. And so we're all screaming at him because it was a Friday afternoon. Boy, get over there and get that head done. We've got to get this car out. So he staggered over again with this cylinder head in his hands, come back again, and says, well, they still won't let me in. What are we going to do? And so everyone's trying, we're going to grease you. We're going to do all these terrible things. Get across there, you idiot, you know. So he's gone back over again, staggering with this cylinder head. An ambulance comes tearing out of the driveway and really runs boy over. Oh. He drops the cylinder head and dives into a bush to take evasive action. So then the ambos are sitting there laughing at poor old boy struggling around with this, you know, 150-pound cylinder head.
Oh, good on you, yeah. William. Good story, yeah, brother. Good story, yeah. You couldn't do it these days, could you?
No.
All good, clean-hearted fun. Thanks a lot, boys.
Next, Bo Ryan joins us after quitting the jungle last night. What a quitter.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. Our next guest grew up in the Illawarra amongst other sporting royalty like Wayne Gardner, Brett Lee and... No, yeah, that's it. His NRL career started at the West Tigers where he played over 100 games, scoring 46 tries before he went to the Sharks for a season and before announcing his retirement after an ongoing neck injury. While he killed it on the field, he's known for his work on The Footy Show and in 2014 also released a music single with Justice Crew. Justice Crew and Bowie, everybody sing along, tell me where you're from. So I guess they can't all be winners. Please welcome off the bench and into the starting lineup for the Rush Hour, Bo Ryan.
G'day, Bo. How are you, brother?
Good, mate. How are you, boys?
Mate, we are very, very good. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Last night, you made the shock announcement during a late-night discussion with your camp mates that you're out of there, mate. How are you feeling now?
I feel all right now. It's been a busy day, obviously, doing press and that, but I was really anxious in that leading into the episode, and I didn't know what to really expect. I remember obviously talking to everyone. Everything was a bit hazy that afternoon and night, so it was hard to watch, to be honest with you, man. It was really hard to watch for my family, but I'm feeling better now. I'm at home with everyone.
Yeah, well, Bo, I'm Wendell Saylor here, mate. We all know that you do a lot of stuff for charity, the Mark Hughes Foundation, very close to your heart. In and around some of those challenges and stuff, mate, what was going through your head? Were you just thinking, okay, I've got to show that I'm mentally tough enough to do this? Because I'll be honest with you,
yeah.
I don't like snakes and all that stuff, spiders, and that some of the food that you ate, and I know you get hangry as well, like me. So what was going through your head, mate?
You got to sort of take your place. The kryptonite for me, I struggle with the shakes, the gut shakes, the piss and all the stuff I had to drink. And I, you know, they knew that Channel 10, so I had five of those trials, which was quite a surprise. My main thought was about my family and then obviously the rest of your team, because you don't want to let your team down, because every star you lose food, and food is life.
Well, Bo, I mean, speaking of that hangry, and you spoke about it, we've got a couple of clips here. Just let's have a listen to this.
Oh my God, I'm actually in shock.
We got to calm that down. What are we going to do? It's going to get out. Bo really can't handle missing out on things.
It's pretty tough when you're hangry and you just can't get access to it. But was there elements of like, gee, this is cutting up my rig even more so or not?
Yeah. Well, I trained a lot in there with Nate from Buckley. We did a lot of training.
He loves it, doesn't he?
It really broke me, eh?
Yeah.
But you could see when I saw him, you could see he was shattered too, because you were like his guy, and you could just see he was at the back. Cause I was watching last night. You were at the back, and he was just there going like, mate, he just sort of wished he would have known as well.
Yeah, he was someone that I leaned on a lot, and it was hard going into the show. Like, I need a lot of calories, I need a lot of food, and he's sort of been on this diet, this weird vegan diet for the last, you know, he's one of them guys, you know, those guys that don't really eat anymore. Yeah. So he was really well prepared.
No, I don't.
That freaked me out, man, because I was like, okay, all right. And then Joey Essex come in after a few days, and we were riding the wave together, but it was, mate, it was like a movie, mate. Every day there was something different happening. Yeah. You get pulled out of the trial. We had a moment, I haven't told this story. We had a moment, they pull you out of the camp, and then you got to walk for maybe a kilometre or two, and then you might get in the car and drive for an hour or 2 hours, depending on where the trial is. Mm. We had a moment, man. We had this drone sort of hovering around on day four or five, and it was sort of above the jungle, and then we just hear bang, bang. And two of the soldiers that were with us shot it down. And I remember coming back to the camp and telling Joey, and Joey Essex and I were telling everyone, and he couldn't remember it. And I'm like, what? Does he not remember it, or did it happen? We're having those conversations. Did it even really happen? We were starting to question everything. And that was when the David, we found out the fake celebrity, he wasn't a celebrity. And I was genuinely convinced Joey Essex wasn't a celebrity. I thought they were all in my head. And we got to a point, man, where I was like, I didn't just know tripping, which way was up. Yeah. Oh, I was tripping, man. I was tripping bad.
Now, bad. Big fella, you obviously got paid for doing I'm a Celebrity, but you quit early. Yeah, if we quit our jobs, we'd get our pay docked. They didn't do that to you, did they?
I was pretty lucky that, I mean, being at Channel 10, I've got a deal with Channel 10, and obviously they top you up or whatever to go on the show. I mean, a lot of the people, we've seen reports of this Buckley and I had an argument about money, but there was no talk about money whatsoever, not in any of the circles I was in. But, I didn't realise until I got back to the quarantine, and then I spoke to my manager after I spoke to my family, and he's like, no worries, mate, let's just cost you $200. Oh. So that was... working it out, if I stayed those last 5 days, I mean, you know, I thought I wish I hung around, but I knew what headspace I was in, man.
How was your missus when you got home? Get back in the jungle, son.
Speaking of that, you are a star at Channel 10, and obviously do a lot of radio. Mate, I reckon sometimes the way it was cut up and the way you were perceived, I thought it was a bit ordinary. I thought they cut you up to be a bit of a villain sometimes.
I mean, it is what it is. It's a reality show, and at the end of the day, they can edit things and put stuff in front of other stuff, but mate, you live by your actions, and I'm not going to blame an edit because, mate, I walked through fire. Yeah. I walked through fire, man. I told my daughter that they photoshopped it, and she's like, "What happened there?" And I said, "Oh, darling, they can do anything with Photoshop these days. They've made it look like Daddy walked through a fire." And I'm just hopeful she's not listening to you guys this afternoon, and we'll be sweet.
No worries at all, big fella. Thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you home. Cheers, I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here airs Sundays through Thursday at 7:30 on Channel 10. Good on you, Bo. Take care, brother.
Thanks for your time. Cheers, this is the best Arvo show Triple M's had in a while, eh? I just want to put that on record.
Thank you, mate. You're much appreciated, brother. That's it for today's podcast. We'll be back on Monday for more of the show. You can catch us live on the radio from 4 p.m. on Triple M.
Have a good weekend. Pizza!